Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock with God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best News Show, The Rack.
We're not acting like we're in second grade. We are working through our anger issues. You see, Kane and I, we used to be a lot like you. But thanks to Dr. Shelby, we're in a better place now. And not only that, we are champions. You do want to be a champion again.
Yes.
Don't you, Randy?
Yes, I do. And after I win the Royal Rumble match, I...
Wait. First, we win our tag match, and then... Group hug!
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE and TNA.
Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian.
The
tag team champions.
No, world tag team champions of Earl.
That's redundant.
It's not redundant. We're two planets worth of great. We've established this time and time again. World Tag Team Champions of the World. Hashtag it, everybody. You'll see.
The first time you hear it, you think you made a mistake.
Intelligent people know better. That's all I have to say on that. And it's whichever like two rules you want to choose, it's up to you.
Heck yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Even Pluto counts, even though it's not a planet anymore, despite the fact they found another moon.
But it is still a dog.
It is.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
We find the defendants guilty!
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward. And we are brought to you, as always, by PWMania.com, MimLanePromo.com, and, well, we has a new sponsor, which my awesome producer, the Sock himself, Sir Rockin, is going to tell you all about.
Yes, we have struck up a new partnership with the folks over at TNAsylum.com, the haven for all your TNA news. They have graciously decided to air our program live every Thursday night on their website, so we'd like to thank all the fine folks over there for making this, you know, just make all this happen. We appreciate their support, and we hope to put on a great show for everyone over on that website, as we do right here on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, PWMania.com. The list goes on, and we add TNAsylum.com to that list.
And we appreciate it. I know we've got at least one guy. We've got the big dog of Aces and Eights from over there in the chat. So we welcome him. Hello. Welcome to our show. Welcome to our site. Thank you so much for having us.
Yes. There's a link on TNAsylum.com. If you want to come in and chat, interact with us, feel free to do so. You can tweet us questions throughout the show. We will take them later in the show. It's at Wild Talk Radio. We'll be looking at the Twitter if you would like to get involved. We have a Twitter segment we do every week called Tweet of the Week. So pass along your favorite tweets, and we will bring them up later in the show. What the show is all about? Well, it's simple. We cover TNA. We give you the most in-depth recap of TNA you can find on the internet, on a podcast, or livecast, webcast, whatever you want to call it. We also give you all the news from both WWE and TNA, have discussions from both WWE and TNA. Plus, we bring you some guests from both companies.
We do, and we're also positive.
Yes, we're not the negative show. We don't dwell on the negatives. We talk about the positives of pro wrestling. So that's
yes.
We stay positive on this show.
Yes, we try to stay positive. We don't like to sit here and bash the product because we don't see a point in sitting here and bashing something that we're supposed to be enjoying. So you're going to hear lots of positivity, although we don't. Kiss anybody's butt. We do find some negatives, but it's not going to be, oh my God, this thing just sucks.
Right.
We do have reasons. So.
Right. We follow the Paul Heyman philosophy of accentuate the positives, hide the negatives. That's how we roll.
You know, because we're both Paul Heyman people.
I would like to thank everybody for joining us live in the chat room. Matt Goldberg's in our chat room. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
He is a filmmaker doing a documentary on the one and only TNA Knockout Terror. We had him on the program a few weeks ago. So, there you go.
We did, and just to update on that film, it's been accepted to Cannes. So this is his second film to go to the Cannes Film Festival. Bravo.
Bravo to Matt. Very nicely done. So there you go. We keep up to date with past guests, and you know, we consider Matt a friend. So, hi, Matt.
Hi, Matt. So we have a ton of stuff to get into, as we told you in the pre-show sound check. We have news. We have, as we said, we have Impact. We have discussions. We got Tweet of the Week. But before we get to all of that, we're going to go to our fan interactive segment that we like to call Question of the Night. So, Mr. Rock, what is our question of the night?
Our question of the night is simple as this. How far is too far in wrestling? Where, in your own personal opinion, your own personal view, does it cross the line?
Mm.
So, we'll get into that in just a little bit.
We will, but before we get there, we've got news.
We have
lots of news.
We have a lot of news. A lot of news broke today, yesterday, so we're going to get all into that. So what's up first, Lindsay?
Well, I think we got to talk about Mr. Punk just a little bit.
Ah, yes, the best in the world, CM Punk.
Yeah, the best in the world. He seems to be making quite a lot of news this week. From issues to creative, to being pulled off house shows, to the rumor he's possibly taking time off Mania after Mania. So he's making the rounds this week, not to mention he, you know, got called out by a UFC fighter, but we'll get to that next. So
yeah.
What's the in-depth scoop on this? I mean, it's...
Alright, so everyone's talking about CM Punk. CM Punk this, CM Punk that. Started over the weekend where he got pulled off a house show, the house show circuit. They say it's to protect his injuries, because apparently he got injured in a matchup with Kane a couple weeks ago on Monday Night Raw, which, if you ask some people, it's an arm injury. Some people say it's a hip or a knee injury, depending on who you ask. It's conflicting at this point. We all know he's been banged up. He was WWE champion for 430-something days, whatever it was. So, with that said, CM Punk is now also frustrated with the creative process. Could it be the storyline? Could it be the storyline he's working with Taker to this, you know, that has him all confused and frustrated?
I mean, it very well could be. We know that he likes to call the shots. He likes to work with creative, and he may not have as much control as he normally does. So that could be that, or he doesn't like the direction that the present storyline is taking, or it could be maybe stuff that they have him doing after Mania. I mean, we don't know. We don't even know if this is necessarily true. This is all speculation at this point.
Yes, it's all speculation at this point. Could it be this possible the situation of we've been talking about on this show for the last couple of weeks that there's been a lot of shakeup within WWE creative? Could it be his guys are no longer there?
Could
the big supporters of CM Punk have left with these creative shakeups?
Very well could have, although I think at this stage, you know, he's made enough friends and enough enemies that the guys within creative leaving, I don't think, have too much impact on him. He's high enough up in the company now where there's not much they can do to push him down, short of dressing him up as the gobbledygooker. I mean,
this is true. This is very true.
And making him job every match. I mean, that's about it. But yeah, I think WWE understands what they have with Punk. And as some of the rumors are stating that, they're just pulling him off the road, off of the house shows to protect their investment because supposedly he is working hurt right now. They don't want him to get badly injured this close to WrestleMania. So they are protecting their investment because they have put a lot into Punk at this stage. I mean, they gave him a year plus title run, which says something right there.
Yes, yes it does. They had faith in him to, you know, be their WWE champion for 430-something days. Yeah, he's banged up. And if he needs to take some time off freshen up the character, by all means, might be something they should actually consider.
Right. But, like we said, it's all speculation. It's just something we have to see. But something that isn't speculation, and I hope to God I say this guy's name right, Chael Sonnen?
Chael Sonnen.
Went on a little Twitter rant.
Yeah, like 10 straight tweets, yes.
About Vince McMahon and CM Punk, or actually really it was about Vince McMahon, but he called out CM Punk in the tweets, and this stems back to a story that broke regarding Vince McMahon and how he's supposed to face Dana White at WrestleMania 28. This really isn't anything new, but Chael, oh hell, we'll just call him Sonnen. Sonnen basically, I can't say his first name, I'm sorry. Sonnen basically went on a Twitter rant earlier this week, called out Vince, saying Dana would absolutely kick his ass, and said that basically Dana would send him home so punch drunk that even the straight edge champion CM Punk would feel it.
Ooh.
Which I don't doubt for a second.
No. No. And here's the thing. I believe Chael Sonnen and CM Punk are friends. Or at least were friends. Which has made this a little even more surprising. For those who don't know, the backstory with CM Punk, not CM Punk, with Vince McMahon and Dana White is there was a match scheduled for WrestleMania 27, I believe it was, where Vince McMahon would fight Dana White, and in exchange, Brock Lesnar would fight The Undertaker. Everyone, if you've been on the internet at some point, everyone's seen the picture and the video of, you know, Brock and Taker at a UFC show. That match never came together. The deal was Dana beats Vince, Taker beats Brock. Simple as that. Dana says, well, Vince, you're too old. I'm not fighting you. And that's the end of that story. But Dana White came out last weekend in promotion of the UFC event and basically put it all out there.
Yeah, it's an interesting story, and, well, I would say for Punk it's probably all in good fun, because Sonnen didn't say anything bad about him, and I seriously doubt that Punk is going to be the first one to automatically jump to Vince's defense.
Yeah. Yeah, probably not, yeah.
Especially since he's been off Twitter for almost a month now.
Yeah, it's been awkward. CM Punk is usually a big Twitter person, and he's not anywhere to be found on Twitter lately. That's
okay. He's busy.
That's okay, because Taker's not on Twitter either.
Much to my chagrin.
Yes. But we'll get into a lot about Taker later in the program.
Oh, yes. Yes, we're going to talk a lot about Taker and Punk tonight, so just prepare yourself. But what else do we have? What else is in the news?
Well, what else is in the news is a really interesting story about one Chris Masters.
Oh?
Yes. I believe it was yesterday the story came out, thanks to courtesy of TMZ, and now apparently going on Good Morning America tomorrow, so DVR that if you want. Chris Masters comes to the rescue of his mother. The former WWE superstar Chris Masters saved his mother from burning death by uprooting a tree with his bare hands and using it as a battering ram to enter her house. Chris Masters tells TMZ he rushed to his mother's L.A. home yesterday after his uncle called and said a neighbor had gone crazy and barricaded himself inside her house. When he showed up, the neighbor was shouting through the front door that he would just burn the place down if anyone tried to gain entry. Then Chris says he tried talking sense into the guy, but he wasn't having it. So Chris called the cops, but when they showed up, the neighbor, well, set the house ablaze. Chris jumped into hero mode, tearing out a tree from the ground and tossing it through the window. Chris reached through the window, removed his mother from the inferno, at which point police rushed in and arrested the neighbor on arson charges. The man, as of this report, is currently in custody, and there's no reason why he snapped at this point.
Son of the year. Automatic son of the year.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt.
I mean, two thumbs up, standing round of applause for Chris Masters. That's incredible.
Yeah, without a doubt.
I mean, wow, that's just... When I heard this story last night, when I read this last night, I was like, he ripped a tree out of the ground. That's impressive.
Yeah, I'm not sure how big of a tree, but any size tree is impressive.
Well, seeing as those things usually come in root balls...
Yeah.
So unless it was just like a little itty-bitty sapling that had just been planted, if it was an established tree, that takes some work to get that sucker out of the ground. So that's really impressive that he was able to pull it up out of the ground and save his mom.
Yeah, Chris Masters, without a shadow of doubt, deserves a medal, an honor of some sort for this. Because just think about it. Your mother's in a house that's burning. You gotta jump right into action, and he did it. All props.
He did it.
All props to Chris Masters.
Yes, bravo. Like I said, two thumbs up, round of applause. Give the man a plaque.
Yeah, and yeah, Matt, you rip trees out of the ground for fun. I know. With your gun, 24-inch pythons, brother. You know, that sort of thing. It's what you do in your spare time. After, instead of making films, you rip trees out of the ground.
You know, rip trees out of the ground. Yeah. Sorry.
That sort of thing happens. Yeah, but Chris Masters, way to go. Very proud of you. Even WWE's cover story. It's on WWE.com as we speak, I believe.
Yes. Or I think it was. I know it was last night. I don't know if it still is today, but yeah, it was. But speaking of WWE...
Okay.
And people possibly returning, or not possibly returning, as we know, the Bellas are back. They were in negotiations with a couple other divas, but sadly, I believe those have fallen through because they wanted more money, access to their names after they leave, that kind of thing. And, well, WWE didn't want to budge on that. And so, apparently, the supposed original plan for Mania was to do a diva match with past divas and present divas.
Right.
With Trish Stratus, the incoming Hall of Famer, to manage one of the teams.
Ooh.
Which, sadly, that got nixed, because obviously they could not get enough past divas to come back to fill out the other side of the team, and, well, they didn't have enough really present divas to do
it. Yeah, the divas roster is a little small right now. A little bit.
Yeah. A little thin right now, but yeah, so unfortunately there will be no match, at least yet, featuring Trish. Hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully they do something with her other than walk her out and stick her on the star and have her wave. Because as we riffed her match from WrestleMania 27 the other night, we all want to see Trish in the leather pants again.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And, you know, maybe we'll get some answers from one Trish Stratus at some point. Maybe.
I don't know. It'd be nice if we could talk to her soon.
Talk to her soon. Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. If you didn't get the hint, well, now you did.
Yeah. But we'll make the formal announcement at some point in the show.
Yes, we'll make the formal announcement a little bit later in the show. It'll be stratifying.
Very stratifying. So what else do we got?
That's all I got in the news, really.
That's all I've got as well. So, yeah, Matt, no foreshadowing there.
No,
not
at
subtle at all.
No, we're not that subtle on this show.
Well, actually, I do have a movie pilot if you'd like to read it.
We're trying to say we're not yet. Yeah, we'll talk about it later in the show. But since we're out of news, I said we go to break.
Yeah, I say we go to break. So when we come back, we are going to be talking all about tonight's exciting Impact Live. Well, not really live, but live/tape from Chicago, where I spent the entire night looking for one Matt Goldberg and didn't see him. We told you to wave, man. So, everybody, you're listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be right back.
every Monday night. Get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns.
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number 2.
That's currently number 7. It was number 2 at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gang bang or something. Techno gang bang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird. Why? Comes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? Oh, I thought the people were going to be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
That's the horse you have, that's the horse you have. Not the pelvic thrust. That looks like a ceiling in the sky. Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I know what it is.
That 800 million. Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I've heard this wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with WrestleTalk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join WrestleTalk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I'm Eric Young, host of Off the Hook Extreme Catches, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Back to the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, PWMania.com, and of course TNAsylum.com. We're also brought to you by the wonderful folks over at MemLanePromo.com. Go check them out for all your memorabilia needs. They've got some awesome stuff, including some great TNA autographs that are just fantastic, so go check them out. I know they recently did a signing with Kurt Angle and Jeff Hardy not too long ago, so.
Yes, yes they have, and from time to time we give away some nice autographs from the folks, so, you know, stick with us when we play some pick 'em challenges. We give away some cool stuff, so stick around. We got some good stuff for you.
Yeah, I believe the next pick 'em challenge will be WrestleMania,
yes.
So just
stick around with us, even if you're a TNA fan, you can win something cool.
Yes. But speaking of TNA,
speaking of the one and only TNA Impact, tonight's live from Chicago, sort of.
Sort of, kind of, not really, but
it was live at some point.
Was live at some point. So we start out, and this is going to be a Bully Ray heavy episode of Impact, which I'm fine with, because he's awesome. We start out tonight's show with a video package documenting portions of Bully Ray's plot to tear apart the Hogan family. As for Sting, he said he doesn't really care about what he had to do to get what he wanted. We then head into the arena, where Todd Kinley introduces the show live-ish from Chicago and posed the question of finding out what... That's a typo. What they hoped they have left after Aces and Eights tried to take over the show last week. And his music then plays, and out comes the show's general manager, and well, Hogan has him mad. But he's down to one crutch.
One crutch. That's a good thing. One crutch. Or unless they broke his other crutch? I don't know. Anyway.
Actually, I think crutch did get broken.
Anyway, he has one crutch left. One. Just one, brother. One.
Yeah, Anyway, it's not important. Moving on. Hogan, on the one crutch, said they've been through hell and back together, but he's never had the wool pulled over his eyes quite like this time. Hogan claimed that Aces and Eights fooled everyone in the building, as well as him, his family, Sting, and everyone in TNA. He said that when he thinks about the massacre last week, he realized this is a monster that is not just a battle, but a war of survival. Hogan's opening statement came across... Yeah, we're not going to read that. Probably should read before I speak. That might be good. I'm usually better than this, I swear. Not really. Hogan said he would like to shift gears by bringing out his top four warriors to lead the TNA into battle. First up is our hero Samoa Joe. After Joe hits the ring, Hogan brings out Magnus, followed by Angle, and then, of course, Jeff Hardy. Hogan then directs a message to the rest of the locker room. He said he needs these four to take out Aces and Eights, and he needs the TNA title back in TNA. Hogan tells Hardy took them to a place he never thought they would get to. Hogan asked Hardy if he's 100% for the rematch to get the title back. Hardy said he might be banged up, but he's in a good place, and the gimmick infringement creatures need the title back.
The creatures of the night need the title back.
Gimmick infringement. Take your fan, sorry. Hardy then gave up his guaranteed rematch to book a four-way match. He said the winner gets Bully Ray. Hogan said the last time he picked a number one contender, a.k.a. Bully, it was the worst mistake of his life, so he likes what Hardy is saying, and he confirmed that the match will be the main event of the evening.
All right. We'll stop you right there for a minute.
You're going to stop me right there for a minute?
Yes.
Fine.
Yes.
We'll get
to Bully Ray in a bit. I want to go through this logic. Okay, first. alright, logic. Number one, first. They brought out the TNA guys with random generic TNA music. I thought, you know, let's use your actual themes, but no, they used random TNA music. Fine, cool, awesome. Segment works. Here's the logic. Jeff Hardy was given a title shot, but says, no guys, let's all fight for the title shot.
I'm not going to lie. I did find that a little odd because Hardy does have the automatic rematch. Because that's what I was thinking. Like, because originally when I started this, I was futzing around with dinner when Impact started. So I didn't get to see about the first 10 minutes. I had to watch it back on DVR. So while the actual show was going on, I was sitting there, and I'm and when they get to the main event, I'm like, but doesn't Hardy get an automatic rematch?
Like, Hardy gets the rematch, and he's giving it up so four people can fight for it, so he can lose his title shot. I just didn't understand the language. His you know, logic there. Not language, logic. Then, it's like, okay, there's that.
Right, and I get, you know, and I get from Detonized, awesome name, love it, that they needed a main event for Chicago. I understand that. So there's the logic there, but yeah, it's just, you know, especially since we're going to go ahead and spoil it since the show's already aired, Jeff Hardy wins the main event. It just seemed a little...
All right, the way you do it is Hogan should have booked the match, not Jeff Hardy. Like, if they, you know... Have Hogan make the match, but yeah.
So it was what it was. It was a fine opening segment. It worked. It set up the opening match, or I'm sorry, not the opening match, the ending match really well.
Also one other quick little thing about it. Hogan's now boosting up Jeff Hardy after he ran him down at Lockdown. We talked about healing in the chat room. You know, he healed on him at Lockdown. Now he's a baby face in front of his face. So, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, you know, because the son-in-law duped him.
Yeah, the son-in-law duped him, yes.
I'm still waiting for this to turn out like McMahon-Helmsley era. So waiting for it. I actually kind of want to see it.
Yeah.
But,
anyway, continue.
Anyway, up next we have a title match, but before that we get another video with Bully Ray. This time he explains us about his plan to win the Bound for Glory series and how he was the mastermind behind pinning everything on Cowboy James Storm. You bastard, you. And how he just simply made a call to Bobby Roode and put the bug in Roode's ear that, well, Storm seems to be acting awfully suspicious. Maybe he's behind Aces and Eights. And that Ray simply used James Storm to pull the wool over everyone's eyes further, and then when Aces and Eights were done with him, they cast him aside like a cheap pair of shoes. And all it was for Ray to win the Bound for Glory series to enter the finals against Jeff Hardy. But sadly, Jeff was tougher than Bully thought, and well, Ray said he had to go to Plan B, which brought Hulk right to him.
I like these videos. These are great. As we're going to get through the show, this is tying everything together that happened on the show throughout the last 9 months. When everyone was going, scratching their head, what's going on, what's going on, and then they brought this on. These videos kind of make the storyline make some sense.
They do, and it was really funny because as they kept airing them and they kept going through the storyline and explaining more of it, we both sat here and went, how did we miss that?
How did we miss those sort of things?
Especially when we get to one of the last videos where we both sat here and went, well, I'll be damned.
I'll be damned. That really was. That really was Bully Ray. Anyway, moving along.
Who was that masked man? Well, we know now.
But up first in our opening contest, what was supposed to happen last week on Impact is happening this week. It is the TNA Tag Team title match. Bobby Roode, Austin Aries, the hashtag Dirty Heels, because they have Dirty Heels tank tops now, against Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez. Solid, really solid matchup between these two.
You said it wrong. It's the sparkly Dirty Heels tank tops.
Alright, I'm not going to go sparkly Dirty Heels tank tops. I'm just going to say Dirty Heels tank tops. This is how I do things.
Well, you're no fun.
Just saying.
This was a solid match. It was actually a really good match in some spots. Hernandez doing the dive from the ramp into the ring and taking everybody out was just absolutely terrifying looking. That much man should not be able to fly.
He likes to fly a lot.
He does like to fly a lot. He puts the super in Supermex.
Yes, he does.
I'll give him that.
Yes, he does.
But, sadly, Chavo and Hernandez failed to prevail, and Bobby Roode and Austin Aries retained with a little help from our buddies in Bad Influence.
Yes, Christopher Daniels, Taz was the sharpener off Daniel Shelf Chopper off the top rope, allowing Austin Aries to get a handful of tights and roll up Chavo Guerrero for the victory. Following the matchup, Daniels and Kazarian took out Bobby Roode and Austin Aries, sending a message that they want the tag team titles. Which, if you listen to our show, I know a lot of you are new listening to the show tonight, we spoke to Frank Kazarian just about 2-3 weeks ago, I believe at this point, right before lockdown, and he talked about how they want to bring out championship suspenders, which we say, it's a must.
It's an absolute must. The World Tag Team Champions of the world, not redundant, were briefly reunited with their titles, and hopefully they will soon be reunited with their titles, although I'm not sure at this point who I love more, the Dirty Heels or Bad Influence, because they're both kind of awesome either way. If we're going to get a feud between these four, I am so ready for it, because it's going to be amazing.
The matches were going to be great, but the promo work is going to be excellent.
Oh, it's going to be hilarious. I'm seriously looking forward to this. It's like, just give it to us already. Make it happen, because it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. So, yes, that was our opening contest of the evening. Then we got a little bit of an announcement. But before that, Brooke Hogan showed up, and she, you know, they were asking her, "What's happening? Have you spoke to Bully? Have you spoke to your father?" She's here to take care of business. But now we had a little bit of announcement. We were shown a video package chronicling the history of the X Division. Which, when you look back at that, oh my God, they had so much talent over the years. Makes you miss some of the people they've had in the X Division.
They showed Suicide, which I was actually one of the few people who liked Suicide.
Suicide,
so when they showed him, I was like, oh my God, there he is. That's so cool. Even though it was Frankie Kazarian in the suit, it was still, it's like, oh, that's because he was such a cool looking character.
Yes, that was made for the failed TNA video game. So at the same time, they announced some new rules for the X Division. There is now a weight limit. The once no limits weight division for the X Division, no limit weight for the X Division, is now has a weight limit at 230 pounds. They are now, every match will be a triple threat match. The winner of the X Division title matches are the champions. The person involved in the fall is eliminated from the next title match. The person not involved in the fall will be in the next title match with the champion and a new third person. The third person is decided by a triple threat match between the loser in the title match and two X Division stars. There's the rules of the new X Division.
I like it to a point. I'm not sure about every match being a triple threat. But other than that, I like it. I think it's good.
What needs to happen is, okay, if you're just doing X Division only triple threat matches, don't make any other matches triple threat matches on your show. Don't have a World Heavyweight Title three-way dance. Don't have a, you know, a TV title three-way, whatever. Just make them, they gotta be singles. You gotta make the triple threat match a staple for the X Division. Make it a staple for the X Division.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Make it its own thing. Let it shine, let it stand out, and let those guys do what they're there to do, which is fly! But we actually did get a blast from the past in the X Division match, but before we get there, we get a little backstage promo with Kenny King as he's talking himself up and doing a nice little plug for 5-Hour Energy. Well done, well played.
Product placement.
Hey, I got nothing wrong with it, man. Absolutely nothing wrong
with
it.
There's nothing wrong with some good product placement. Like, get all your TNA news from TNAsylum.com.
And for WWE news, definitely go to pwmania.com. And, of course, for all your autograph needs, go to memlanepromo.com. Ding!
Ding!
Cheap plug.
We're complete chills right here between me and her. We're complete chills. Everyone on this network, complete chills. So, yeah. Shilling. Woohoo!
Shilling. Right. We all have to take the Shilling 101 class from Rock before we're able to go on the air.
Yes.
Just so everybody knows.
It's mandatory.
It's completely mandatory. But up next, after Kenny King's promo, we get the X Division champion Kenny King himself taking on one Zima Ion and the Blast from the Past, the Guru himself, one of my favorite X Division guys, Mr. Sanjay Dutt. who I was so happy to see come back again. He just needs to stay. Like, they just need to keep him on TV and leave him there.
Yes.
And give him the title.
Sanjay is all kinds of awesome. If you don't remember him from the old days of TNA, yeah, he's tremendous. Great guy. Really good match. This was a good match.
It was a fantastic match. It was a great way to continue the show on a roll. The crowd was obviously a little tired by this point, but they seemed to be really into this match and really enjoy it.
Yes, yes they were.
So, yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed it. And
the Hurricane Rana that Sanjay pulled off.
Holy crap.
That was nice. And then, you know, once we start praising him, he almost falls off the top rope. But he composed himself. But that Hurricane he pulled off, that it was like he moved in slow motion.
He did.
It was tremendous.
It was a thing of beauty. And sadly, though, Sanjay and Zima did not prevail, and Kenny King walks out with the X Division title around his waist. But well, I guess we'll have to see what we get next week if Sanjay's back.
Sanjay took the fall, I believe, right?
Sanjay took the fall, so he's out.
Yeah, he's out of the X Division, so the next match is Kenny King, Zima, Ion, and the third. I guess they got to determine that in a triple threat match at some point before the next title match. So I guess next week on Impact, we'll get a three-way with Dutt and two others. I think that's
as long as
working.
It gets, you know what? As long as I get Sanjay Dutt, I'm happy.
Yes. Keep Sanjay Dutt on TV.
Yes, keep Sanjay Dutt. We like Sanjay Dutt. He's awesome.
He is kind of awesome, yes. We have explanation video number 3. Bully Ray had to implement Plan B, as we mentioned before, when the Aces and Eights were locked out of the Impact Zone by Hulk Hogan. Ray said he couldn't win the TNA title through the Bound for Glory series, so he had to come up with a new plan. And that's where Joseph Park came in. He said Joseph Park became his bait to maneuver into getting Aces and Eights full-time access in TNA in exchange for Park's help. Then Ray, quote-unquote, stepped up to represent TNA. Ray said when he shook Hogan's hand, that's the moment he knew he had Hulk Hogan right where he wanted him. Bully Ray said he bonded with Sting, even doing the signature Team 3D table spot together. He let him use the table spot. He granted him that permission to use the table. So he pretended to be distracted by the Aces and Eights while the group took out Sting. Then, well, the plot thickened. Up next, Brooke Hogan.
Ooh. But speaking of Sting, we see him tentatively standing outside Hulk Hogan's office. He takes a deep breath before he goes in, obviously knocking first.
The polite man that he is, knocking before he enters a room. Because, you know, sometimes when you knock into you don't knock. Weirder things are happening in someone's office.
Yeah, people are making out that shouldn't be making out. Sting then walks into Hulk Hogan's office. He asks for a piece of Bully Ray tonight. Hogan said that things haven't changed from last week, a couple of weeks ago, or 10 years ago. So he tells Sting, why doesn't he just go hang out in the rafters for a few years? He said Sting just runs and hides when things get tough. Sting ignored Hogan's blame and said the game, and said that basically tonight is about revenge.
He wanted Bully Ray, and then Hogan took some shots. Hogan was pissed. I love the shot about, why don't you just hang out in the rafters for a few years? That was a tremendous shot.
That was fantastic. It was like, burn!
Burn, going back to the old WCW storyline where Sting stayed up in the rafters for about 18 months before he had his next match. From Bash at the Beach 96 all the way to Starcade 97. That's about 16, 18 months, yeah. Very nice shot by Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, very nice. It was a good promo all the way around. And they both had the really good intensity. Hogan is playing this up really well. I liked how Sting said, I want a piece of Bully Ray as he's walking out, and Hogan goes, you're not the only one.
A little bit of foreshadowing, perhaps.
Maybe. I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. They're a little bit better at the foreshadowing than we are.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a tad.
But up next, we go into our second hour with a video packaging highlighting the issues in the knockouts division, including that referee Taryn Terrell seems to be having some problems with one Gail Kim. Then we see Tara come out, and she says, that she knows she's on probation because it's her job to control the chaos, not add to the chaos, but Gail Kim has pushed her too far, damn it. Regardless, she's ready to accept her consequences. Gail then comes out to gloat in Taryn's face. Her hair looked fantastic. Sorry, Gail's hair. Sorry. I'm a girl. I make fashion comments. Just prepare yourself in advance. Gail then comes out and gloats in Taryn's face, saying she's going to get fired tonight. Gail then calls out Brooke Hogan to address the situation. Brooke said that this has been a very tough decision for her to make. She said she loves Taryn, but she has to be fair. I have to terminate you as a referee for the knockouts, Brooke says. This drew big laughs and mock tears from Gail.
Which was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Gail is money. She's a fantastic heel. She really is. They need to keep her for forever. Give her whatever she wants. She's amazing.
Yes.
Brooke then turns Gail's smile upside down by announcing that Taryn has been officially signed to the Knockouts roster. Gail then freaks out before is speared by Taryn to make it official. And before we move on into what happened next, I want to talk about this segment because this segment was tremendous.
Oh, yes, it was. It was really good. The spear was tremendous by Taryn Terrell.
Oh, God. That looks sick. It was just like, it looked really, really like it was one of those out-of-nowhere things, because you're not expecting her to hit her that hard.
Right. Unlike the RKO, this came out of nowhere.
And almost broke Gail, good lord, I can't talk, in half.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought they all played their parts well. You can tell Taryn has improved on the microphone since her time in WWE and since just coming back to the company. It's not all about the boobs or the rack. She's actually, learning how to be a professional wrestler.
Right, which is a nice thing to see, and she's going to be a good addition to the Knockouts roster. They need girls, sadly, and so this will definitely be a welcome addition to the ranks. And I'm actually looking forward to a feud between these two because Gail will make her look absolutely fantastic. But one of the things I actually wanted to talk about was Gail's promo, which the recaps don't cover, and how basically said she is the Knockouts division. She founded it, and it would not be there without her, and that's kind of true.
Between her, it was her pushing for it. It was Tracy Brooks pushing for it way back in the day. But Gail, I believe she was one of the first Knockout champions, if not the first.
She was the first. She won it at Slammiversary, because I was at that show when she won it.
Right. And then she put the division on the map with her feud with Awesome Kong.
Which was incredible. If you have not seen that feud, if you're new to TNA, you haven't seen that feud, if you haven't seen any of the Knockout stuff from a few years ago when it was really when it was first founded, go back, find it, watch it. It's still incredible, but the roster that they had when the division was first founded and first started was amazing.
Yes, they had a nice roster, and they have a lot of talent now, including Tara, Mickey James, and the like.
Oh, yeah, I'm not knocking the roster now. It's just the roster then was... you're just sitting there going, damn.
Yeah.
And then I believe Tara came in, and then Mickey came in, and it got better.
Yes. Speaking of people coming into the picture, as it were, Bully Ray then showed up and stared down his wife. Brooke was screaming, "I hate you, I hate you," and Bully Ray just kept pointing to that finger. That ring on his finger, till death do us part.
Which was great.
She hates him, I hate you, I hate you. She ran away, Bully just stood there. Holding up the ring.
Yeah, holding up the ring. You're mine, till death do us part.
You're my wife.
By the way, Brooke's dress did nothing for her in the back. Just saying.
I like that she came in with one outfit and like 30 minutes later she was all in another dress.
You have no idea how girls work, do you?
We could
change at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, about 30 times you could change in a drop of a hat.
We just make you wait 2 hours to do it. You know, it's like we're actually, when we're getting ready, we're actually ready within 10 minutes. We're just sitting there doing nothing, making you wait for the other, you know, 50.
That's a lie. That's a lie. Because you change outfits 20 times before. Yeah, I'm ready.
No, actually, I don't, but other girls do. I do actually know women that do that.
Okay, not you per se, but others would. Anyway, moving on.
Yes, anyway, moving on. We get Bully Ray explanation number 4, and this one is about how every great army needs great soldiers. Take 2! I don't know why I'm getting tongue-tied, but I am. He says that Doc and Mike Knox felt wrong, so they became the muscle of Aces and Eights. Ray said that Devon came to Sting and Hogan to help them, just like Garrett Bischoff did. Ray said Garrett even stood next to Hulk when he brushed aside his old man, but Hulk just discarded Garrett and never gave him a chance. Even Wes Briscoe came to TNA looking for an opportunity, but Hogan discarded him. Then Mr. Anderson was taken out by Aces and Eights, but no one checked on him, no one cared. Ray said, if you're going to start a gang, then you need some leverage, so they turn to Taz.
Before you continue, you know, they're making, you know, what does it say? You're making them earn their opportunities. Earn their opportunities. So they had, you know, Wes Briscoe take on Garrett Bischoff in the gut check. You know, that sort of thing. They made them earn their opportunities. But yes, he turned to Taz, and that was a beautiful. Which we when that happened, that wedding happened, that was fantastic. That was a nice swerve.
That was a great swerve. Everybody was like, "Holy crap!"
No one thought
when that happened.
No one thought that Taz would be the turning, but it worked. It worked really well.
It totally worked. He then went on to talk about. Also, D'Lo Brown, he talked about himself as well, but yeah, he basically talked about how they built the stable, but nobody saw it coming.
No one saw it coming, and this was the video we saw where it's like, wait, that was Bully Ray. That was Bully Ray who hopped out, who hit Jeff Hardy's knees. That was that guy.
Yeah, that was the one thing, that was the one moment where... When they showed the video and they just isolated it, because when they originally did it, you didn't pay the Aces and Eights guy that took out Jeff Hardy any mind. You didn't. Because it's a masked guy in Aces and Eights, so it's probably some jobber from somewhere, nobody cares. And then when they went back and they replayed the footage, and you're looking at the footage, it's like, holy crap, that is Bully Ray.
Now this next part of it with D'Lo Brown, we kind of saw coming, especially when it came to gut check. They showed how D'Lo was the inside man.
D'Lo was the inside man that got them in. We called that one pretty much when it happened that night.
Yeah, when Al Snow was taken out, I was like, D'Lo, he's working with them. And they recapped that he was. Ray said he got Wes Briscoe on the roster, as we talked about. Then they trapped Kurt Angle in the cage. And then that's when they were ready to reveal it. They revealed that Garrett and Wes were in the group, and then his plan was coming together. Then they got, you know, Kurt Angle trapped in the office, and they revealed it was D'Lo Brown. Yes, it was time before lockdown. Everyone can know who's the members of Aces are, except for one, just that one man, and that was him.
Yet another fantastic swerve, because when D'Lo got revealed, all of us went, oh my god, really? Really? Okay, well, we'll go with it. And then they did the thing at lockdown, which we all kind of saw coming. We all knew was going to happen. Or we had an inkling was going to happen, I should say. But it was the way they did it was great.
Yes, it was great. It was really good. I'm liking this. It's for all the criticism people give in this story, this ties it all together and it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it all adds up, and they've made the past 9 months worth it now, which is what you want.
Yes. Backstage, a cameraman was talking with Kurt Angle, talking to him about how he needs to win the world title back and to start his mission to get revenge on the one and only Aces and Eights.
Yes.
So more hype for the big main event later in the show.
Yes, but up next, we have Matt Morgan and his fancy-dancy gold panties against our most favoritist lawyer, Chicago's own Joseph Park.
I love Joseph Park. He's tremendous.
Oh, God. This match was entertaining as hell.
It really was. This was a great match. I love the role they give Joseph Park because he's playing the greenhorn jobber, as it were, not knowing so much. And it just works for him. Sadly, Lindsay, sadly, he was unable to get the W.
He was unable to get the W, as the boys say. Matt Morgan sent him down for the count and picked up the victory over Joseph Park. But I'm willing to take this just because of how entertaining this match was.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good. I'm digging Joseph Park. I'm not too big into Matt Morgan right now. I've never seemed to really get into Matt Morgan. I know there's others that have. I just don't see it in him. But hopefully he proves me wrong. Because he hasn't really changed in the last few years.
He ate Mark Henry's beard.
Besides the beard, everything else seems to be the same with Matt Morgan.
Morgan's kind of one of those that he's got the look, he's got the talent, he just, I think in a lot of ways, he's lacking the charisma, at least in his present character. He's just really difficult to connect to as a heel or a face, so he's just kind of there.
He seems to be like this guy, he's a big guy, right? But he tries to act smaller than he is rather than be the big guy.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
If that makes any sort of sense. He's too big. He acts small for being such a big guy.
Yeah, so it's... I think Morgan could be good, but they have to find the right fit for him, and sadly, they haven't found it. I think when he was with Joey Ryan, he was okay. Yes. He wasn't great, but he was okay.
Because the combination with Joey Ryan wasn't that good. But as a big-time enforcer, he would work.
Oh, yeah. He would be great. But they're working on him. They need to get rid of those god-awful gold trunks.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Those things are awful.
Anyway, backstage, we have the roving cameraman asked Jeff Hardy for his thoughts on the TNA title shot tonight. Hardy said he wants the title back from Bully Ray, but if he's not ready, then he wants to make sure either Joe Magnus or Kurt Angle can get the job done, which is why he made the challenge tonight. In the ring, we have the one and only, the ace reporter that he is, the journalist from Las Vegas, via Florida, Mike Tenay,
who dyed his hair,
standing ready to get to the bottom of the issues with AJ Styles. He introduces AJ Styles, who strolled to the ring with his new look, the hood, the jacket. You know, Taz says he's kind of digging this whole new dark side of AJ Styles. Styles in the ring got within a few inches of Tenay, who said he's called every one of Styles' TNA matches since day one. He's known for about 10 years. He asked Styles what's going on, but AJ Styles said nothing. He was just, you know, standing there, not answering. Tenay asked Styles about the rumors about drug and alcohol abuse. Taz interrupted. You know, he's shocked by all this. Taz said he saw Styles' little home videos from Mississippi or Louisiana or wherever he's from. Thank you, Taz, for, you know, knowing the South. Just saying. Taz told Styles to join the Aces and Eights because it's all about the opportunities. He's even, you know, he has a nice jacket for him. It's a, you know, a prospect jacket. Got to start from the bottom. Get people beers because you're into that thing right now. You're into, the, you know, the drugs and the alcohol. That's your thing. He said he'll even get Styles a real bike, and like the one he's riding now. Styles just stared at Taz. And then out came everybody's favorite cowboy, the cowboy James Storm.
In that awful, hideous shirt that one of these days I'm going to get into his closet, find it, and burn it.
How long has he had this shirt?
He has had that shirt, or shirts like it, for 10 years. I have promo shots of him in a similarly ugly shirt. I don't know why. Normally he has better fashion sense than this, but God, that thing is awful. I want to burn it, destroy it, kill it, whatever. It's a bad James. Go sit in the corner.
James Storm came out. AJ Styles wouldn't even acknowledge him at all. Storm mocked the new AJ Styles with the little leather jacket and hood. He said the old AJ Styles would tell you to your face what he thinks about you, but this one won't. Storm then walked around Styles to go face with him. Storm said Styles can sit here and think about sucker punching him again, but he'll beat him to the punch. AJ really didn't move. So James Storm removed that cowboy hat to give AJ a better shot, but Styles, simply just backed away. Storm wanted to know what he's leaving for, but Styles just continued to walk away, giving us no answers once again.
I really actually kind of like how AJ's selling this character.
He's doing a good job with it.
He really is. I mean, he's just sitting there and he's stonewalling everybody, and it's so simple, but it's very effective. Because, again, he's not the usual AJ Styles that we're familiar with.
No, he's not. Because for over 10 years, we've seen the same. AJ's been the same, whether it's heel or face. He's been that same guy. This is a different twist. I'm enjoying it. I'm interested to see where it goes and what it leads to. They got me interested.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where this goes, and it looks like they're building to a feud between Storm and Styles, which should be really good. Because we know they can both go together. They've done countless feuds together before. But this should be really interesting, especially with Styles in that transitional period. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm curious to see where this goes.
Yes. So up next we have another Bolero explanation.
We do. Video number 5. Ray said that having a nice time as TNA World Champ, then Hogan caught him with his daughter. So Hogan suspended him, which only drew Brooke closer to him. Ray said he then used Sting to lure Hogan in, especially for the wedding. Ray said he wanted Taz to have his moment, which is why he didn't reveal himself at the wedding. Ray said that he had to take a beating to sell the idea that he wasn't part of Aces and Eights. Then Devon had to take a beating for the good of the group.
I believe we had a movie reference in there.
I believe we did.
Okay, just making sure.
Now all we need is a name drop and somebody can go to bed.
Yes.
Ray moved along to his convenient leg injury. He said Brooke unknowingly buttered up Hulk, who made Ray the number one contender, and then Ray played to Hulk's ego by suggesting he wrestle in a 6-man tag match. Sorry, Sting. Ray said about Sting taking a beating after they took out Hulk before the match. Ray said he pulled off the biggest con in pro wrestling history, closing that no one can stop them and no one will take his TNA World title.
Fantastic.
Well, I don't know about that, Bully, because up next we have the 4-way match to determine the number one contender for the TNA World Heavyweight title.
Yes, and a really good match. Really good main event.
Dude, the spot with Joe, holy crap. Where he did the jump out of the ring, oh my god.
That was a vintage Samoa Joe.
Really? Really? Seriously?
Classic Samoa Joe.
There you go.
How better? Classic.
That's
Joe.
Better.
Classic Joe. Joe's gonna kill you.
As we said before, Jeff Hardy comes out your winner, which was a little disappointing, I'm not going to lie. I would love to see them give Samoa Joe the shot. I really would. I understand it's not his time right now, but a match between Bully and Joe would be good just because of how physical it could be.
The crowd was into Joe and Angle tonight.
They were.
They were chanting for both of them. We want Joe, we want Angle, yeah. That was tremendous. Great match, great main event. Jeff Hardy picks up the victory over Joe. They had a little bit of, you know, signs of respect between the others as Jeff Hardy celebrated to end this edition of Impact. Which means, my guess, in about 3 weeks we get the title match?
Probably. And there will more than likely be shenanigans involved, which they're going to build this to, obviously, their next pay-per-view, which is Slammiversary in Boston.
In Boston, yeah. I have a feeling we're going to get the title match in about 3 weeks, because I don't think it'll take place at the next tapings, but it'll be the tapings, the next live show after that. That's the way I'm figuring it out in my head, but I could be totally wrong. We get it next week. But I would think they would promote it and it would be Championship Thursday or whatever.
Probably. God, what's wrong with me? Where Hulk forces Bully to defend the title.
Yes.
Or Dixie does. Or one authority figure in management forces Bully to defend the title.
Because I think next week's open fight night?
I believe so.
I would think... Yeah, I think it's open fight next week, and then it's gut check, and then we're getting back on that circuit.
Right. Which, that would make sense, because they're taping again next week.
Yes.
But overall, what'd you think?
Solid show. As we were talking about as the show was going on, it was a little promo-heavy, and we understand why. I compared it, this was a SmackDown, not a Raw.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree. It was a little difficult to stay tuned into the show just because of how many promos they did. I understand that they're taping two shows in one shot, and crowds can only take so much, and that right now they're still trying to figure all this out. So I'm not going to go too much after them just because of the fact that it's a process, and I understand it's a process. They're trying to figure it all out, but it's just the show was extremely promo-heavy. And while their post-production team is second to none, they're absolutely phenomenal. And they put together some great packages tonight. It just was too much. It's like the Bully Ray stuff was really cool to see, but it was 5 segments and they were a couple minutes long each. Really was almost too much.
It looked more a little too produced, a little bit. It was too overproduced this time around. Like, it didn't have that live feel. If they can sort of translate the live feel with the tape show, that would work a little bit better.
Yeah. But still, it's the Chicago crowd was still into it, even though they were pretty tired by the end. And so it's just, yeah, I enjoyed it. I liked it. It was a good show overall. Had nice intensity all the way through, even with all the promos. Like I said, them going back and reviewing the Bully Ray stuff was great because you're sitting there going, I'll be damned, the whole time.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But yeah, I mean, overall, good show.
Good show. I thought so. I thought it was a really good show tonight. Jess, I say we take a break, come back, talk some more TNA.
I say we take a break, we talk some more TNA, we do our Tweet of the Week, and, well, I think we have a surprise for some people. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once!
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWmania.com.
There are plenty of wrestling radio shows that consider themselves to be award-winning, yet they are full of flaws. While WrestleTalk Radio continues to bring you the best wrestling talk on the internet today, with no production flaws. Tune in Sunday nights for WrestleTalk Radio, the best value in wrestling radio. We're just saying.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels, letting you know that you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by PWMania.com, MimLanePromo.com, and our brand spanking new partner, TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans. So, if you're just joining us, you missed our recap of Impact and the wonderful show that it was, but I think now, let's see, what are we going to do first? Are we going to do tweet, or are we going to do the something special?
I think we should do something special to get it out of the way first.
Let's give
something new for the show.
Yeah, we have a new segment just for the show and just for WrestleMania. So take it away.
And now your Channel 20 and a WrestleMania weather forecast brought to you by Sir William Regal. He's a real man's man.
He's a real man.
That's right, folks, because apparently it's news that all the sites are covering. We are going to bring you the exclusive WrestleMania forecast up until the day of the show, at least on this show. I don't know about any others. I doubt they're going to do it. But so for those of you wondering what the forecast is for WrestleMania weekend, it's going to be anywhere from scorching of the sun hot to freezing Antarctic cold. So please pack accordingly.
Better get those long johns out and those thermal gear and maybe some suntan lotion. You know, never know what's going to happen at WrestleMania.
Yeah, you never know. It is Mania, which led to an interesting conversation, which if we have time, we may get into later. But for now, let's do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, it cannot wait. I'm sure.
So, I'm going to go first, so you don't steal my tweet.
Okay, fine, 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 fine.
From our most favoritist Twitter, AJ Lee. Lots of questions as to what @Heel Ziggler got me for my birthday. No, it wasn't a ring. Yes, it involved a strategically placed big red bow. To which I want to know if it was on him, on her, or on a new pair of Converse.
We'll go with the new Converse. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to keep it PG.
Yes, yes, yes. Anyway, yeah. You have any others?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay, so here we go. Let's go from that. Where do we leave off? Starts with AJ Lee, a relationship forming between Caitlyn and Layla. Quote Michael Cole, starting that erotic fanfic for you. Jamie Noble broke up that catfight solely because he thought he'd find Nydia somewhere in there.
Oh.
Last time we were in Fort Wayne, Kane broke up with me. So it was only fair that this time we broke him. Oh, by the way, I want my CDs back, Kane. Whoa, Ambrose, Reigns, and Caitlyn look pretty pissed. Nice shot, Kane. A nice shot, AJ. So those are from AJ. James Storm. Funny how we can get the hell beat out of us, but a little thing as a skinned elbow hurts like crazy, says James Storm.
He's not kidding!
No, he's not. No, he's not.
People laugh at me when I say there are different levels of pain. They don't believe me. There are different levels of pain, and a skinned anything is, yeah, it's right up there, because it's that annoying, irritating kind of pain. Because you always skin that the worst possible spot.
This is very true. We have Robbie, it starts with, this is a conversation. Robbie E, sending to Lagana and Joseph Park. That hamster probably plays Candy Lane, bro. Joseph Park replied, I prefer to the board game version of Law and Order. It's riveting. Want to play sometime? Robbie E. goes back. Did you get picked on in high school, bro? Joseph Park, did you finish grade school? Nice shot.
Well done.
Daniel Bryan, going to Portland to learn beard growing techniques from Eastern Europeans. Determined to win hashtag beard off. And one from Zeb Coulter. Yes, the Zeb Coulter at WWE Zeb. Heard that Ricardo Rodriguez wants to sue Swagger, but he can't. Case doesn't have a leg to stand on.
That was low. That's a bad Coulter.
So yeah, there you go. Those are the tweets of the week.
Yeah, so now we're going to kind of head back into TNA a little bit before we go into our discussion regarding Taker Punk. And we're going to talk about the end of the era. For those of you that are not aware, TNA is now fully out on the road. They wrapped up taping their one-night-only pay-per-views this past weekend, which, if you find spoilers, we're going to kind of hype out what's coming up. But we checked out the spoilers, and they look like they are going to be having some absolutely amazing shows. I know I want to buy several of them, but they're all in the end of the year, which kind of sucks. But
yeah, some of the good, the good ones are later on in the year, yeah.
But they wrapped up taping those pay-per-views this weekend, and they are now officially out of the Impact Zone. They posted a picture, I believe, on TNAWrestling.com or ImpactWrestling.com.
No, it was on showing, it was actually on TNAsylum.com.
It was on TNAsylum.com.
Yes,
Daniel
it was.
One.
There you go. It was on TNAsylum.com. The haven for TNA news. Or TNA fans,
yes.
I should say.
The haven for TNA fans, showing them packing up the Impact Zone, where they were disassembling all the chairs, they were taking down the ramp and the ring and the barriers, and it's kind of a heart-wrenching moment, because that's been their home for 9 years, and actually, I wanted to go back and kind of reminisce a little bit about the Impact Zone and some of our favorite memories there, because I know when I originally started watching TNA, I haven't watched it from day one, sadly. I've seen some of the Nashville Day stuff, but when I first started watching, it was when they had just gone over to Fox Sports and they were in Orlando.
Right.
And I watched the show, and that was back in the day, which, if you remember, they had the two tunnels.
Oh, yes, the two-tunnel setup.
That the two-tunnel setup, which I still say was an awesome setup. I kind of like that.
It was a nice idea.
It was a different... It was different.
Yes,
it was. That's what I liked about it. And also, the back in the day when they still had the six-sided ring, which I very much miss. I wish they would bring it back, because it made them different. Again, it was one of those things that made them stand out. And that's when I started watching, and that's what made me a fan. And this was probably back in, I guess, 2003 or 4.
Oh, 4.
When this happened and when I started watching. Because I accidentally came across it on the TV one day. I was home early from work, and I came across it on TV, and I was like, oh, look, wrestling's on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's awesome.
Yeah, depending on your market, I think it was 4 o'clock here that they were on Fox Sports Net, and we didn't even get Fox Sports Net. Did we?
Yeah.
No, wait. No, yeah. No, we didn't get Fox Sports Net, but they showed it on a they showed it here on the Comcast affiliate, I believe. Yeah. They showed it on the Comcast affiliate here to start with. So yeah, it was like when they debuted on Fox Sports Net, the two ramp thing, even they were timed matches too back then.
They were,
cuz it stayed with the whole the sports field. So they gave you a time limit for each match, which was interesting and, you know, different, that you really don't see companies do, especially show the clock.
Yeah, so it was, again, like we said, it was something unique, it was something different, and, you know, to think back and go back and kind of watch, and one of the things that they did was they put together a really, really cool package highlighting their time in the Impact Zone and showing the high marks of the Impact Zone. And I said it to Rock after watching it, that you actually can watch the company and even the homegrown stars grow up in the video.
You could see where you could see like Samoa Joe grow up through your, you know,
James Storm grow up, you know, through this video, and it's, you see the evolution of the product and how much they've done since leaving Nashville and going to Orlando, and now they're going out on the road. And it's just, it's an end of an era, and we just kind of wanted to talk about it a little bit and kind of share some of our favorite memories from the Impact Zone. So, Rock, what are some of your favorite memories?
Well, sometimes it was the crowd. They're a really interesting crowd. But you got some of like the best moments in TNA history early on from the Impact Zone. You had the debut. You had the Kings of Wrestling, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, Jeff Jarrett, in those awful jumpsuits.
Oh yeah,
they were coming out. It just had a different vibe, and it's over the, you know, there's nothing that really stands out, but you could just, you know, going back through it, it's like, a lot of things did happen, like Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle hooking up for the first time, which was a big deal. Christian Cage debuting in the Impact Zone with the whole countdown clock, which everyone was like surprised, because he was on SmackDown that Friday, his contract was up, and then he appeared on the pay-per-view that following Sunday.
Right. Hell, even Kurt Angle's debut.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. Everyone was shocked that at the end of a pay-per-view, this video came on the screen. It's Kurt Angle. What? And he says, it's real. It's damn real. What? Because he was only out of WWE a few weeks at that point. A couple months, I think.
Yeah, so it's like, wait, Kurt Angle's going to TNA? What?
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, some of the bigger moments have happened in that, you know, in the Impact Zone. And it's going to be sad to see it go, but it's the right move they're making.
Yeah, this is, as sad as it is to see them leave Orlando, it's a great move for them because they can only go up from here. as far as how they can expand, because now it's, they can expand out stadiums, they can draw bigger crowds, they can start to draw gates, they can do any number of things. So this is absolutely a fantastic move on their part. And I'm kind of with all the wrestlers that are saying they're not going to miss the Orlando crowd, because as awesome as the Orlando crowd was at some time, they sucked.
There were times they really sat on their hands, and sometimes they tried to make themselves a story. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just like, they were what they were. I mean, I remember my friend, Kendi. She's a big TNA fan, or she was a big TNA fan. I'm not sure she still watches anymore, but I remember she actually went down to see Impact.
Right.
Live.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, the line was outrageous and you had to wait like 6 hours outside to get in, just to get seats.
It's crazy.
And I mean, I wish I could have seen them in Orlando, but I really, really actually wish I get to see them when they're out on the road. Please come to Utah if it's in the next 6 months. If not, well, go somewhere in the south, because that's probably where I'll land.
Yes.
I'll find you.
She'll find you unless you don't find her first.
Yeah, if you don't find me first. But, yeah, it's, if you've ever been to a TNA show live, it's amazing. And if you have the opportunity to go, go.
Right.
Absolutely go. They put on a fantastic show. It's great to watch. What makes me kind of sad, though, and one of the things that I missed, and I wish, and I don't know what his status is, but I kind of miss the presence of Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah. Going into these tapings, we thought, this would be the perfect opportunity to have Jeff Jarrett involved, and sadly, he was not. Sadly, Mr. Jarrett was not a part of these tapings at all. And, you know, it would be nice to see him back on TV, because some call him Triple J, but he was a great heel for that company. He carried that company for a long time.
He did.
But, anyway, yeah, Jeff Jarrett, sadly missed. But, you know, there were some interesting names that showed up at these tapings.
There were, including one Cassidy Riley.
Cassidy Riley. Huh, I've never heard that name before. Where can I get more information about Cassidy Riley?
Well, gee, I guess you could go to this awesome website called CassidyRiley.net.
Is it fully updated by a webmaster?
Sometimes.
Go to CassidyRiley.net for all your Cassidy Riley needs. Yeah.
But for those of you old school TNA fans that remember him,
He was
also joined by one Natural Chase Stevens.
Ooh.
And together they formed the original tag team of the Hot Shots that was in TNA in the very, 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 very early days before Cassidy became Raven's lackey and Chase and Andy hooked up.
Yes.
As the Naturals.
Yes. Hot Shot Johnny Devine was in action on one of these tapings as well.
Uh-oh, I hope he didn't get hurt. He's got his big title defense in a few weeks.
Yes, on March 30th, he has a nice title defense at Canadian All-Pro Wrestling's March Mayhem. Go to CanadianAllPro.com for more information about that. Apparently, you know, this promoter dude who runs Canadian All-Pro Wrestling is looking for an interview. You know.
He's looking for an interview?
Yeah, this promoter man wants to be interviewed by us.
He does?
Yes, the promoter man himself wants to be interviewed by the two of us.
Ooh, well, we must be a big deal then.
We must be. So maybe next week on this show, we will, you know, wedge him in somewhere and give him, you know, 5 minutes of our time to promote his stuff. Maybe. Because I can't say his name, but he's just the promoter man. But we'll see.
Well, isn't he an old man?
I could get in a lot of trouble for what I'm about to say, but at one point he was the OLD ONE of something, something, something. Hey, we're going old school.
Yeah. Let's go old school.
Let's go old school, and I hope he's probably not even listening anymore. If he is, he's going to give me crap in about a minute. Surprising name that showed up in one of the tapings was Funaki.
That was interesting. Another surprising name that showed up that none of us were expecting, Jim Mitchell.
Oh, yes, Jim Mitchell. He was managing another surprising name, Judas Macias.
Yeah. That's one of the ones I want to see.
He took on Joseph Park in a Monsters Ball match, which, just wanting to see Joseph Park in the Monsters Ball match to begin with, that should be interesting. We also had the New Church. Sin and Slash.
Which is really cool, because that harkens back to, again, the old days, TNA Asylum days.
Yes, even before the Impact Zone. You had the reuniting of the British Invasion, Doug Williams, Rob Terry. You had the likes of Homicide and Hernandez, LAX, reuniting together.
Holla holla! One of the things that I'm a little disappointed we didn't get was a Beer Money reunion.
Yes, we did not get the Beer Money reunion, no.
Or we did not get AMW.
We did not get AMW. Sadly, we did not.
Which I was kind of hoping they would do, but given Storm's feelings on it, I would guess that, yeah, that's never going to happen.
Yeah, most likely never going to happen. But here's a quick rundown for everybody. Extravaganza debuts on April 5th. Teenage Jokers Wild airs May 3rd. TNA Knockout Knockdown, which will crown the Queen of TNA, airs July 5th. The 10-year reunion airs April 2nd. Tag Team Tournament, which is one of them we want to see, is September 6th. TNA World Cup of Wrestling, which had some interesting competitors in it, including Funaki, as mentioned, November 1st. TNA Hardcore Justice 2, which is another name I forgot to mention. Bob Holly, Hardcore Holly, was involved.
Again, I want to get the Hardcore Justice pay-per-view.
Which is December 6th. And finally, the TNA Heavyweight Title Tournament is on February 7th, 2014. So they have a year's worth of programming in the can. The final tapings of the Impact, in the Impact Zone.
Yes, the final tapings. Everybody, take a moment of silence. Okay.
I should interrupt with a gong or a screech or something. Anyway.
No, don't do that.
No, don't do
now,
that. No, don't do that. Sure, you sure?
Yeah, don't do that. Okay. Because now, well, we're going to get a little serious for a little bit.
Let's be serious for a minute.
Yes, let us be serious for a minute. Calgary, Alberta, Canada. No.
No, no. Calgary, dramatic pause, Alberta, Canada.
Sorry. It's been a long time since I've heard that intro. But we're going to get serious because there is a topic that Rock and I were talking about when we did show prep. And this is something we've been kind of looking at, and we talked about it Monday night on the Raw Post show, and we wanted to go more in depth with it here. And one of the things that we have noticed on Monday Night Raw and watching WWE lately is that the major matches for WrestleMania are pretty much set, with the exception of one, and that is Taker Punk. That one is still very much in the air, and they're about 3 weeks out from the show at this stage with no real defined story for the match.
Yeah. The basis of the story currently is the urn. And after watching what happened on Monday night, it left, I know, Lindsay scratching her head, and it left me scratching my head, and a lot of people's head, on what is actually going on.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, they are not going with the original story at this stage, with Paul Bearer's death. Obviously, plans have changed. They decided to involve the death in the urn with the story leading into Mania, which could potentially be Punk's dislike with creative right now or disconnect with creative right now because it could be he didn't want to go in that direction.
Right.
But he really didn't get a choice. That, again, that's just speculation. But the story is, we were sitting there talking about it, what, Tuesday night?
Monday night, right after the show.
Right after the show, Monday night. And it was, usually by now, we've got the story, we're building to the match, and at least for me, the big deal is the build to the match to sell it for me. To sell me into wanting to see it. And it's like Taker came back, and it's like, yay, Taker, he's back. We only get him for a short time this year, so it's like, okay, well, we got to make the most of this. And then they did the four-way, and it's like, okay, they did a four-way for the match, fine, whatever. They'll still do a good build, hopefully. And then, sadly, we lost Paul Bearer. They did the fantastic tribute to him last week. And they started to build something with it. And they started to kind of sort of get at least myself and Rock interested in it a little bit, where it's Punk, CM Punk steals the urn from The Undertaker. What happens next? And you had the exact response from Taker at the end of the show where he was angry and he was growling and he was rolling his eyes back in the head. And then this week happened. And I really have to say I was actually really looking forward to this week just because it's, well, what is going to happen next? Because if you read the reports of the house shows, CM Punk carried the urn with him all over the place this past weekend.
Yes, on that Friday Night House show, he had it. He even did a promo with it before being taken off the road.
Right, and he and Paul Heyman were going as far as playing catch with it.
Which was tremendous. There's video of it on the internet. It's tremendous.
Yeah, it's great. It's fantastic. But then Monday night comes, and they did what we're terming the odd little promo with Taker and Punk, where you had Taker come out, he's going to talk, we're finally going to get the speech from The Undertaker as far as why he's back, he's going to cut the promo against Punk. At least that's what I was expecting. I don't know about anybody else. Of that, we get Punk, I'm going to hurt you, or Punk, I want my urn back, I want it back now, and I'm going to hurt you bad, which seemed a little off.
There was something, missing. There was no oomph. There was no fire. There was no intensity. There was something missing from his delivery. It was like, alright, as Lindsay said, we get Taker for a short amount of time. And every time he comes back, there's something memorable about him. There's something special about him. He captures your attention when he gets on the microphone. And when you hear the gong, he walks to the ring, you're excited, he starts to talk, and it just wasn't there.
Yeah, you can, if you go back and you watch it, which of course we've done several times, and you watch him particularly, you can tell that he's really not feeling it, if that makes sense to anybody. You can kind of hear it in his voice, you can see it in his face, it's almost like it's a let's just get this the hell over with kind of thing.
Right. And, okay, before we move on, and I'm going to warn everybody right now, we're going to get really to that line, we're going to get really close to that line, but we have explanations for it, we'll get to that.
Yeah, we're gonna explain everything, but the whole reason why we asked the question of the night that we did, and we're going to tie this all together with that, is where is your line as far as wrestling goes? And obviously, not everybody has the same line. And one of the things that we've been hearing a lot from people on our own network, people online, on Twitter, on Facebook, are, the varying degrees of how people were taking CM Punk interrupting Paul Bearer's tribute and disrespecting him, essentially, or disrespecting just the lack of respect.
Yes.
Because it wasn't, at least the way I see it, it was not disrespectful towards Paul Bearer.
Right.
But that's just me. And so we've heard varying degrees of what people saw it as, how people feel about it, what they think of it. And one of the things we talked about was where our line is.
Right, and I'm going to put it out there. My line is a lot further than most people's.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Rock as well. I didn't find what they did with the Bearer tribute with Punk interrupting it, followed by stealing the urn, offensive at all. I was actually halfway expecting it. Just because it's with them this close to Mania, they cannot afford to waste a Raw with Taker. So they're going to have to do something, and they're going to have to involve Punk. That's just the bottom line on it. And the way I've seen it, Punk has not been disrespectful to Bill Moody / Paul Bearer / Pursuit Pringle. If anything, he has been disrespectful towards The Undertaker, but I can understand how a lot of people can see him just interrupting the tribute as disrespect. And I totally, totally understand that and respect that. But yeah, one of the things that we were talking about is Monday night and obviously Taker's lack of oomph.
Oomph, fire, intensity, passion. You have this man. We'll go with the storyline, what they're doing. CM Punk just stole the urn. So you would think this man, The Undertaker, this urn holds so much to him. It's like, it's his being, it's his power, it's his soul, it's everything important to him. You would think, okay, I'm going to come out here, I'm going to call you out, CM Punk, get your ass down to my ring, and let's go. Give me back my urn. If you don't come here, I'm going to come get you.
Right, which is honestly what I was expecting. You know, it's The Undertaker of the past. Anytime somebody has blatantly, quote-unquote, disrespected him, he has gone after them, and he is extremely aggressive when he does that kind of thing. And he's stalking them backstage. He's stalking them in the ring. He comes up through the ring. He interrupts matches. He does promos. He does this. He does that. And I understand Taker is not as physically capable in some cases as he used to be. I understand it. And we're going to get there with that, Mace. Mace makes an excellent point, and we're going to get there.
Yes.
But it's like, if you're going to involve it in the storyline, it feels like he should be angrier. Because Mace makes the excellent point of, you know, the dude's best friend just died. Of course, the passion's not going to be there. And the storyline probably isn't helping at all. I completely 100% agree with that.
Yes, we went over that at least 10 times on Monday night going, we know why it's not there.
Yeah, we get it. I totally understand why the passion is not there. It's just, part of this is CM Punk is mocking Taker. He's, in a way, mocking the death. He's mocking the urn. He's mocking everything that is The Undertaker. And so you think that you could kind of take some of that and put the anger, or put that sort of grieving energy into the anger and let it kind of flow through. But obviously I'm not Mark Calloway.
No, you're not Mark Calloway. You didn't stay at a Holiday Express last night. None of that
nice.
Stuff. Nice. Not any of that.
Nice tie-in.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, we understand that, and we know exactly why the passion's not there. We know why there's no fire. But as a just taking it all in perspective, if he's gonna do the angle, can you find a way to bring that fire, that intensity? Something. Tear up the backstage. Be pissed off. It's just missing something.
Yeah, it's... And also the promo Monday night, if you go back and watch it, it's a little odd, because it's a very short promo. It's only 6 minutes long.
Not even. The entire segment was 6 minutes long.
Yeah, the entire segment is 6 minutes long. Taker's promo is less than a minute. Punk's promo is a couple minutes long. And they had Punk barricaded backstage, which was a little odd. The whole thing just felt a little odd, and it felt like it should be longer, and we're not entirely sure if that was the way it was supposed to be, if it was supposed to get axed, if they were like, just to hell with this, we're not going to participate, or we're not going to do it. You know, we don't know, obviously, no. But the whole thing just seemed off. It seemed odd, and I'm kind of wondering if more wasn't supposed to happen, and it just got axed, or Taker said to hell with it, or Punk said to hell with it, or they both did.
Right. And yeah, Matt brings a point. Wonder what they would have done with, had Paul not died. Yeah, that's the million-dollar question at this point.
Yeah, if anybody can get an interview with CM Punk or The Undertaker and ask them that question, yeah, we would greatly appreciate it.
We would greatly appreciate that. Get the get to the bottom of the story. Now, that's being said, they're here. We have the story. We know what the story is about. We know what's going to happen at WrestleMania. Taker's going to get back the urn.
Right.
But now we got to get there, Lindsay.
We do have to get there, and they only have 3 Raws left to really push it.
Two Raws.
2 Raws, okay. Well, the number keeps changing on me. First it was 3, now it's 2. Keeps changing on me.
Yeah, 3 weeks was a Monday, now it's 2.
Okay. So, we are now down to 2 Raws, and that includes the go-home for Mania.
Yes, we're going to go home to WrestleMania too. Yeah, 2 including the go-home. So, this is where we're going to put it out there again. I'm going to give the warning. We're going to cross a line, possibly.
Yeah, we're not going to be PC about this. We are not going to be gentle about this. It's basically we kind of sat here Monday night and thought up of ways to potentially add a little bit of fire to this feud without putting a lot of stress or a lot of emphasis on Taker. Basically, you take all the weight off of Taker and you put it all on Punk.
Yes.
And you essentially have Punk sell the match to those that have not been sold, which, you know, basically it's what would sell Rock and I completely on this match. And one of the scenarios that we came up with was you have Punk, and this is where the line is going to get crossed. Because you have Punk stealing the urn, you have Punk talking about Paul Bearer and the past and everything. And I forget exactly how we came across it, but the essential thing is this, is you have the crew mock up a grave.
Alright, yeah, we'll get there. First, you wanted to do something with the funeral home.
That's right.
You go back to the Undertaker's grassroots and the old funeral home. Correct?
Correct.
Okay, then that's where you're taking over, because that's your part of the story.
Right, okay. So before we mock up the grave, we have Punk go back to the funeral home, and he's got with the urn in the funeral home using the past, either with the family or with Bearer, or bringing up the bad times with Bearer. Like it or not, the character of Paul Bearer was a snake in the grass. He wasn't a good guy.
Right.
So, you know, you bring that up and you kind of sort of can use that as a way to poke and prod Taker and also bring up Taker's shortcomings and really kind of either demonize him or humanize him, depending on how you see it, using his shortcomings as a way to taunt him and, you know, saying, well, you're not anything, you're not a phenom, you're just a man, and I'm the best in the world, and I'm the new phenom, because guess what? I have your urn. I have your power now. I'm the new, you know, you could even have Punk go as far as say, I'm the new Undertaker, if you want to go that hokey.
Right. So you go from there, and then you make your way to a gravesite.
Yes. This is where we're going to cross the line.
A little bit. Possibly. It could for some. And we apologize up front because we warned you. And if you're offended, we're sorry. But this is an idea we came across in our heads and figured we'd share it. So you're at a gravesite, Punk in the same suit, and he's standing by a grave. And he's giving this long, long speech, talking of the match, talking about the streak, talking about the Undertaker. And he's holding the urn. And there are certain ways, different ways you can do it. There are some ways you could say it's Paul Bearer's grave. that's where you might cross the line.
Yeah, the original idea was Punk goes to quote-unquote pallbearer's grave. Obviously, they do not go to the actual grave of William Moody, but they go to the grave of pallbearer. But anyway, continue.
So, you can mock that up however you want. He's standing there, he cuts the promo, you make it seem like he's there. And then you can go either one of two ways. It's at that point, he's at the grave and, you know, talking it up. And you zoom into a tombstone about pallbearer. Or, where you don't really cross the line, he's then there's an arrow to rest next to pallbearer, laying the streak to rest next to pallbearer. And on the gray, on the tombstone, it's 20-1.
Right. And if you wanted, if you really want to go that far with it, if you really want to cross the line with it, you have Punk throw the urn in the grave.
Mm-hmm. We know this is crossing the line. But if you think about it, if Paul Bearer didn't die, this is all Undertaker stuff. Everything that's been done before. If you think about it, if you harken back to what Shawn Michaels did a few years ago about the Shriek and a gravesite.
Right. And, you know, we're obviously, we are trying to be sensitive to this and,
right,
again, understand that this is a real life situation, but it's how much of the real life do you want to involve versus the story,
right,
of the Undertaker, and how much of the Undertaker's past and Paul Bearer's past, since this is about Paul Bearer and the urn and the power of the urn, do you want to bring into play?
Right.
Because if, again, if you go back and you know the story of the two, it's not a happily ever after situation. It's actually a really very dark story.
Yeah, it is. It's a real dark story.
So it's, you know, how much of that do you want to play in versus the real life? And obviously I'm not saying, you know, they go to William Moody's grave or they show pictures from the funeral or anything like that. God, you know, that would be the line right there for me at least. But to do something like that, to have Punk do something like that, that basically, because you could have the Undertaker react one of two ways into seeing that, because obviously it would be a pre-taped promo, you either have the Undertaker, you know, storm out, or you have Taker roll his eyes in the back of his head, and all of a sudden, boom, a lightning bolt happens in the graveyard, or in the funeral home, or something.
Right, and that's where we're taking the pressure off of Taker, because as Mace pointed out, he's not into the story, there is no passion. So taking the passion away from him, you put it on CM Punk to do all the selling of it.
Right, and then come WrestleMania, you basically just have a really short, sweet match between Taker and Punk, where Taker walks out, beats the crap out of Punk, pins him, gets his urn, and leaves.
Right. And this is where we're going to get a little tricky as well, on what you do with CM Punk at WrestleMania, and his entrance.
Yes.
For a little bit of more heat, as it were, CM Punk arrives in a hearse. Yeah, think about that one for a minute. CM Punk arrives in at the Meadowlands, MetLife Stadium, in a hearse. That could cross the line for some people.
That could cross the line for a lot of people, and saying that, you know, he's even being generous enough to bring the Undertaker his ride for when he needs to leave, or for after the match. And if you want to do this and you want to play him up as a son of a bitch, play him up as a son of a bitch.
Yeah, if you're going to go for it, you go for it, and you bring him in on the hearse. But then he gets his comeuppance, and he's the one leaving in the hearse.
Right, you basically, like I said, you have Taker walk out there, take him out, and, you know, to end the match, he drags him either through the backstage, or he drags him to the back of the hearse, throws him in the back, and sends it on its way. I mean, obviously, we know Punk is going to get his comeuppance, or at least we believe Punk will get his comeuppance at Mania. Another interesting thing, something that will definitely not happen, is for the complete opposite of all of this, which is what if Taker just doesn't even want to deal with it and he just leaves?
That's also another possibility. He could just leave and not deal with it. But we know he will.
We know he will, but, you know, what it would be interesting is, and it, he would probably get, you know, they would get booed out of the building and everybody would shit on it, I know, but it's, you have Taker, it's too much for him, and given, you know, his present mental state with the real situation, the man is obviously devastated, he's obviously having a very difficult time right now with this, you can tell he's not in the right frame of mind to be doing this. Especially involving the very real life death into the storyline. So another scenario is Taker leaves. And he refuses the match with CM Punk and he just leaves.
Yeah, I like what Matt brought up in our chat room as we discussed this scenario too. The thought of doing a buried alive match at WrestleMania.
We talked about that, actually.
We did, and it's another one where it's that line. It's where do you go with it? Is that too fresh to do a buried alive match? Is it too much of a reminder of the death? Will you go with a buried alive match?
I'm with Matt. It would add well to the story. The only problem that we potentially saw with it is Taker has only won one buried alive match, and you would have to come up with a hell of an explanation as to why Punk isn't dead.
Yeah.
That's the only issue with it. Buried alive matches work because Taker usually loses, and then you just explain it because, well, it's the Undertaker. You know, that's all you need to say.
Another scenario we thought of, casket match?
Casket match would be interesting. When Rock brought up the hearse, I thought about potentially a last ride match.
So it's... There's different scenarios. Alright, now, talking about heat. This whole segment's about getting heat on Punk, right?
Right.
What bigger heat than to have CM Punk win the match? By disqualification.
Yeah, if you notice Monday night, Punk sort of, and props to Rock for noticing this, Punk sort of laid out what he's kind of going to do, which is, there will be countouts, and if either of those happens, oh yeah, you can kiss your streak goodbye. So obviously, Punk is prepared to be pushed to his physical limits, but what he's going to do is he's pushing Taker to his mental limits. And he's obviously pissing Taker off so bad that when it comes time for the match and Taker gives him the beating of his life, can Taker keep enough control over himself that he doesn't get himself disqualified by the ref? Because think about that. Taker either gets disqualified. Basically, Taker, the scenario we came up with was Taker wins the match. He's got Punk in the Hell's Gate. He wins the match. Punk either taps out or he's not responsive. The ref tells Taker to let go. Taker, in his rage, doesn't let go. Refuses to let go. Ref counts to 5. Taker still won't let up. So the ref has no choice but to reverse the decision and award the victory to Punk.
Yeah, talk about that heat, huh? I don't know how well that would go over, especially in that crowd, but if you want to put him out there, give him that heat, it would be interesting. It'd be different. It's something, you know, different if you're going that direction.
Yeah, I'm with Matt. I don't want to see Taker lose either.
Yeah.
I want that streak to stay intact. Don't get me wrong. I want that to stay intact. But think of just the heat on Punk, because he doesn't pin Taker. Because one of the problems I've always had with that is if somebody pins Taker, that makes that person better than the whole list of names prior.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes, you know, your Ric Flairs, your Shawn Michaels, your Triple H's, Jimmy Snuka's, Jake the Snake, so on and so forth. You know, that whole long list that he's faced, and then it's like if somebody pins him to the mat, that suddenly makes them better than all those names. Which, no offense to CM Punk, he's not greater than Ric Flair. Sorry. Just no offense to him. But, you know, if Punk costs Taker the streak in another way, basically Taker screws himself out of the streak, that's an interesting scenario. Where, because The Undertaker is known for playing mind games. He is known for screwing people's heads up. So it's, what if CM Punk does get in his head and he messes him up so bad that he makes Taker commit the sin of sins and cost himself a streak?
Right. The whole idea of this was to push Taker to his limits, doing everything he can to push him to his limits. Yeah, I know. We don't want to see it happen, but just what if it happened? What if? It would make for compelling television. He's the guy. He doesn't come out the winner. He doesn't look like a winner, but that next night on Raw, he's the guy who beat The Undertaker.
Yeah, just imagine the absolute heat Punk would have walking out Monday Night Raw as the guy that put the blemish on the streak.
It's interesting, and we know people won't like it, but it could happen. It'd be different.
I like this chat room. They don't want it. They don't want the blemish. Me neither. I'm totally with you guys.
We're totally with you guys, but this is radio. We have to cause discussion and create discussion, and this is what we're creating. And it's working perfectly. It's different.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you can see Punk going for it. You can see them doing it. And it's an interesting finish to the match.
Yes.
Because, you know, Taker gets that victory. It's 21-0. You know, the gong starts up. They put up the graphic. And then the ref, you know, tries to get him to let go. He won't let go. And then they reverse the decision. They have no choice but to reverse the decision.
It's different.
It's definitely different, and it's an interesting scenario to think about, to consider, because it's one of those things where it's like, they could get away with that. They really could. They would piss the entire WWE audience off. But it would make Punk, for sure, their number one heel in the company, without question.
By far. Even though he currently is the number one heel, it would make him even bigger of a heel.
That would send him to the stratosphere.
No pun intended. So this begs the question, as we'll tie it all together. Where is that line?
Yes, where is that line?
Wrestling Fanatic goes, for me, showing footage of someone dying is crossing the line.
Okay, Jerry Lawler, obviously.
Yeah, that's for me. That's when they did that. That crossed the line for me.
Yeah, that was too real. I don't mind them bringing real life situations into wrestling, but when I was okay with them using the heart attack, I was okay with Paul Heyman mocking the heart attack. I was not okay with them showing it, because the disturbing thing was they had filmed it.
Yes.
That was what was disturbing. They had filmed it and they had pictures of it. And they were worse, they were playing the audio of it. And so it's like, I don't mind them using that to a degree, but it's like, when you see the actual footage of Jerry on the stretcher, on, you know, basically them doing CPR on him and the snorting that he was making and that kind of thing. Yeah, I'm with Wrestling Fanatic. That was just too much. And then to have Heyman fake the heart attack right after was just like, oh, screw this, I'm done.
Yeah, Jed chimed in, the only line I have is our racism angles. I think they're dead ends. You either validate the racist beliefs if they win, or you paint the wrestler into a corner with a gimmick that's about almost irredeemable. That's his only line. Everything else is fair game. Poor booking offends me more than the angle itself.
Okay, fair enough.
So those are a couple of responses.
we got on our Facebook page about that. Yeah, it's everything they did after the Jerry Lawler thing, fine, but them showing Jerry Lawler, yeah, that's where my line is. Everything else, I pretty much say is fair game for the most part.
Yeah. Dutt and Ice brings up the interesting point of what if John Cena turned heel. That would be an interesting scenario. It won't happen for a while, just because John Cena is their number one babyface in the company, and they're too busy making money off of him still. I think in probably another couple of years we may see that. But right now, Cena seems perfectly content to stay a face while Punk goes the heel route.
Right.
But if and when Cena ever turns heel, that will be the shock of shockers.
Oh, without question. Because a shadow of a doubt, it would be.
Yeah, because that's going to be like Hogan turning heel all over again.
So I said my line, which is your line the same?
My line is pretty much the same. Like I said, it's when you bring too much of the real-life situation into the scenario, like for Taker Punk, if they were to show the actual grave, that would make me slightly uncomfortable. If they were to show images from the funeral, particularly of the wake.
Right, if they show actual death moments in there, yes.
Yeah, that's kind of one of those things where it's just, as a fan, that's too much, because that's too personal.
Right, I see that. I understand that completely.
It's too much of an invasion of privacy. Pretty much anything really relating, you know, Katie Vick was too much for me. Like, I'll tolerate a lot, but when it gets to the level of Katie Vick, that's when I've kind of got to step away, because it's like, no. No, we're just, no.
Yeah, necrophilia, yeah.
I mean, pretty much I've learned to tolerate a lot in wrestling and as a wrestling fan.
Yeah, you learn to tolerate a lot.
You know, it's like blood doesn't bother me, racism doesn't bother me, that kind of stuff doesn't bother me, but it's pretty much necrophilia, pretty much anything involving, you know, real life death or medical issues. You know, like I said, Jerry Lawler's heart attack, showing the footage bothered me. It's more the poor choices involving that, because it's like, that to me seems disrespectful.
Right, I agree.
So that's where I see that line being drawn. Other than that, doesn't bother me in the least. What about you?
Yeah, I'm pretty much with you. I'm pretty much with you on that one. I don't really get that offended, but there's some things, you know, when you see it, yeah, you know it. But until then, not really.
Well, Matt's bringing up an interesting point in the chat room. He says that he hates storylines that cross the line, like involving Devon's kids with the Pope. That's interesting as well. I would say involving race kids, too, that was a little creepy, especially with CM Punk singing Happy Birthday.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
I couldn't sleep for a couple nights after that. But yeah, I'm with Matt. Sometimes it's too much. And I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to push the envelope to cause heat and interest, but sometimes it is. It's just too much.
I agree. So there you go. That was our question of the night. We do this every week. If you're a first-time listener of the show, we throw out a question on our Facebook page and our Twitters, and we want your involvement every single week.
Well, let's pull the chat room real quick. You know, for the folks in there, where is your line? Let's see, Dutton Eyes liked the Eddie Ray storyline where they did that. When they did that, that was a glorious feud. Yeah, Pope turning Devon's kids against him, yeah, that was not good.
No, that was not one of the finer moments, no.
No, sadly.
Sadly. But yeah, it all depends on your personal taste. Yeah, depends where you go personal. Where, you know, how far you take it, you know, into a personal storyline. Because there's character personal life, and then it's the real personal life. It all depends where you go on that.
Yeah, I mean, like, One thing that I actually was okay with where it almost got too personal was when Abyss attacked Christian at his house.
Right.
Like, that was okay. That was fine, especially when they ended up fighting in the pool. That was awesome. But...
but it right, but you didn't really... You didn't cross a family line.
Yeah, there's certain things with death and families that you just... You don't go there.
Right.
Because as fans, I think it's... You have a certain belief about these guys. It's like you see them as a character. You know, like it or not, they're all characters on the show. Their character has a certain life, and then they have a real life at home. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of fans, those two should never mix. Because, you know, what you see in the real life isn't necessarily the character. So it's like to see them with their families, you know, with their wives or their husbands, and to see that breaks the reality.
Yeah, Matt brings up one, Big Show and Boss Man. Yeah, that one was...
Yeah, that wasn't good. MIB underscore JK... Random, I'm sorry, JK1VA7.
Random listener from PWMania.com.
Hi! Says Claire Lynch.
That's, again, that's personal taste. I won't discredit
it. That's personal taste.
I won't discredit it.
Dutton Ice is bringing up Alex Shelley and James Mitchell stalking Christian's wife. I remember that.
You can also go back to certain stalking of a dead man's wife.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. It broke the wrestling reality, because it's like, wait, that's his real wife. And for Matt, it's, you know, bringing the children and the family in, and I can definitely agree with that.
Al Snow and the dog. Pepper.
Kurt, Karen, and the kids.
Yeah, see, there are moments, but then there are, it all depends on where your line is, and that's what this whole discussion is about, is where is your line? What takes you to that limit?
Right. It's how far, you know, how far or how short do you go with it? Because some people are, you know, not that sensitive like us, and some people are hypersensitive. They don't like anything controversial, and that's fine. That's totally your personal taste, and I completely respect that. Completely respect it. It's like, how far are you willing to go, and how far really are they willing to go? That's why I would actually love to sit in on the creative meetings and listen to, you know, when they do stuff like this and they're talking about creating heat and controversy and that kind of thing, some of the ideas that actually do come out. Just because I think that would be interesting to hear and see where actually the writer's lines are, where Vince's line is, where Dave Lagana's line is, that kind of thing. Like, how much is self-censoring versus how much is... network censoring, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes a lot of sense, and it all depends on where you're at, who's writing it, and, you know, everyone has their own personal opinion.
Right. But on that note, I think we've just about talked this out.
Matt doesn't even like Tara with Jesse, because, you know, she's married. Yeah.
I don't like Tara with Jesse, but that's my own selfish reasons. Just saying.
Yeah, so yeah, with that being said, anything on bugging you, Lindsay?
You know, I really feel there should be an intelligence test in addition to a driving test when you're going to get your license, because I have seen people do some absolutely crazy stupid things in the last week behind the wheel of a car. I have almost gotten killed 3 or 4 times this week because people don't know how to drive. And then, of course, there's the classic, if you don't know what the hell you want and you have a billion questions, please don't go through the drive-thru. There's a store that you can walk into. Go in the store and ask them questions. Don't waste everybody's time by sitting in the drive-thru.
Feel better?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I got nothing. I'm good. I has no rant.
You has no rant?
I am clear-minded. I have no rant.
Wow, there's a first.
I know, right? I think I've vented it all by now, so yeah.
Well, since you don't have a rant, I guess you get to make our not-so-subtle announcement.
Our not-so-subtle announcement, yeah. Our not-so-subtle announcement. Yeah. So, next week, right here on this very program, we will be featuring an interview with a WWE Hall of Famer. There was speculation abound who this person is. Who will it be? Will it be Donald Trump? Sadly, no. We did not score an interview with the Donald. Sorry. No, instead, we scored an interview with...
I don't care what y'all say. Whoa, it's time to rock and roll. Whoa. This time I'm in control. Whoa. Right now I own the streets. I got the keys to the city. That's cause I get down.
Yeah. The one and only Miss Stratosphere Yoga, Trish Stratus, returns to The Rack next Thursday night, live right here at 11 p.m. Eastern. If you have questions for Trish Stratus, please send them to contact@rackradioshow.com or media@wildtalkradio.com.
Yes, I get to have girl talk with Trish Stratus. This is going to be awesome! And if you missed it, actually, one of the very first interviews we did for this show, actually, I believe the very first interview we had on this show was Miss Trish Stratus herself. So,
yes. So she's making her second appearance on this program.
Yes, we're very, very, very excited to be talking to her all about her Hall of Fame. So if you have questions, like Ruck said, send them to contact@rackradioshow.com or media@wildtalkradio.com, and we will do our best to fit your questions in. I'm very excited to talk to Trish. I'm sure Rock is, too. She was a blast the last time, and I can't wait to have girl talk with her. Actually, Matt, we did ask her about a Mattel figure the last time we talked to her, if you go back and listen to the interview.
Yeah, I'll try to get the answer for you. I don't remember it offhand, but I'll find the answer for you and pass it your way, Matt.
Yeah. We actually did ask her about that.
So yes, Trish Stratus on the Rack next Thursday night.
Yes. So on that note, I say we wrap up a little bit early and you start plugging stuff.
Alright, plugging shit. Tomorrow night, Mace plays video games, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, and Subway. We talk about the weird, the wacky, the unusual. We talk about anything. Last week, we talked about the Pope being, you know, thrown off, you know, ejected off a wall with a catapult. So you never know what we'll get into. It's weird, it's wacky, it's unusual. Sunday night, the flagship, Russell Talk Radio, at 10 p.m. Eastern, during Tim Stein, Omega, and Mace, as they cover the week in pro wrestling. Monday night, we do a little show called the Raw Post Show at 11:30 p.m. Eastern, where we recap 3 hours of Monday Night Raw in about 45 to 50 minutes. Tuesday night, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with the one, the only, Alan Wojcik. On the program, he will be featuring interviews with the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, and Adam Bomb, so you want to check them out. Wednesday night, Justin the Goddamn Wrestling Show at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back, as always, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com and on TNAAsylum.com. TNAAsylum.com for the Rack. Again, Trish Stratus will be on the show. You can follow us on Twitter @WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, Facebook.com/WTR, The Rack.
Yes, so I'd like to thank everybody who listened to us over at TNAAsylum.com. We're very excited about the new venture. Thanks to everybody listening over at PW Mania and, of course, our home base, WildTalkRadio.com. But you can also listen to us at RackRadioShow.com. So if anybody's listening over there, thank you so much. We appreciate it. We, of course, thank PW Mania, MemLanePromo.com. Again, go buy their things because they have some awesome stuff. I want the CM Punk autographs.
Yes, if you missed some, if you're new to the show, go check out RackRadioShow.com. Check out the archives. We're on iTunes. You can get interviews with TNA talent such as Terror, Rob Van Dam, Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, who we just interviewed a couple weeks ago. So you want to check those out, check them out at RockRadioShow.com. And if you really want to, you can check out an interview with the one and only Matt Goldberg. It's on there, too. So check it out, RockRadioShow.com.
Listen to Matt Goldberg as he talks to us all about his exciting documentary about Tara. I can't wait to see it. It's going to be amazing. It's going to Cannes because he's awesome like that. He just has to get it into Sundance now. No pressure at all.
She's throwing down the gauntlet, man. You got to get into, you know, to Sundance. That's all.
And we were happy to have him in our chat room tonight chatting with us. It was great to hear from him. Duttonized, we can try to do an interview with Chris Sabin, but it all depends on his availability and if we can get him, if he's doing media.
Yeah, so that's why. So go check out the interviews we have done. So check them out, rockradioshow.com.
Yes. So on that note, we are going to go ahead and head out to Kid Rock's American Badass, a little taker for you. Since we did, I guess, TNA the rest of the show, we're going to leave with WWE, or just Kid Rock, depending on how you see it. So, for Rock and myself, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week, where we have Miss Trish Stratus. Bye!
Fuck you! Who knew I'd blow a black post war bomber? Said fuck high school, pissed on my diploma. Smell the aroma, check my hips, I know it stinks in here, cause I'm the shit! Shit. Oh. They call me cowboy, I'm a singer with black. I'll throw a finger in the air, let me see where you're at and say,
hey, hey.
Let me hear where you're at and say,
hey, hey.
I'm giving it back, so say,
hey, hey.
Show me some love and say,
hey, 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 hey.
I'm a cowboy, badass in black, singing,
hey.
City back on the map, we're singing
hey, hey. WildTalkRadio.com.